Wake up. And welcome to the Wake Up Call, where you will find the education, encouragement, and information you need to change your mind and change your health. The Wake Up Call is an outreach of the Bhakti Wellness Center, and today's program is brought to you by Positively Healthy, nutritional coaching for a positively healthy life. I'm Giselle Erickson with the Bhakti Wellness Center, and leading this discussion today is Guy Odishaw, also of the Bhakti Wellness Center.
Good morning, and today we're talking about weight loss surgery, nutrition, and finding optimal health with our co-host and subject matter expert, Rob Portinga, a nutritional coach from Positively Healthy.
Morning.
Yeah, and you can give us a call on the studio line at 952-946-6205 if you have any questions or comments. You can also leave comments for us on the Facebook page, and you'll find a link to that on our website at thewakeupcallradioshow.com. You can also listen to us from live streaming audio at the AM 950 website or catch the podcast of our shows. Just hit the Listen Now page on our website.
If you'd like to participate in the show, you're welcome to call in, as well as contact us on Facebook. And every week, we like to let you know about our deal of the week. This week, Premier Nutrition is giving away a case of their Chocolate Premier Protein Shake, a ready-to-drink protein shake. It gives you 30 grams of protein and just 1 gram of sugar. And I have to say, this is the protein shake that I drink, and I love it. Keep them on hand at home, in the office. They're great to grab and go. What you need to do is go to our Facebook page and leave a comment on our show discussion. And at the end of the week, Friday, we will draw randomly to see who receives the free case of protein shakes. You will find all the details on our website. Just visit thewakeupcallradioshow.com. So, Rob, tell us a little bit about your story and what led you into this interesting career in nutrition.
It goes back a ways, a few years ago. Well, I've been obese most of my life. As everybody, that pound seemed to add up over the years. And a few years ago, I got to my heaviest. And it got to the point where it was really, even though I'd been overweight, I'd always been active. Paintball was a passion of mine, getting out playing paintball, camping, hiking, things like that. But the last couple of years, it got to a point where it was just affecting my ability even just to walk around, it seemed like. So I finally got to the point where I made the decision to have weight loss surgery. And through that, I lost over 190 pounds and got down under 200 pounds for probably the first time since before I was in high school. And through that, I learned a lot about, I'd always been, fairly healthy eater by, I suppose, what a lot of people would consider normal standards. But it got even better. I started eating a lot more fresh foods and things like that. And when I got laid off from my job in construction last year, I was looking for something to do. And a good friend, actually Giselle here, suggested I go back to school and maybe look into nutrition. And so I did. And because of the things I had been doing as part of the whole weight loss program that I've been on after surgery, it just kind of seemed to become a natural fit, not just for my own education, but also as a way to help other people learn more about eating better and just eating healthier.
Well, clearly, from sitting across the table from you, I can tell you that the weight loss surgery has worked for you. But what are some of the changes you needed to make besides the surgery? Because, often, we hear two sides of this. One side being that the surgery is kind of an end run around having to be responsible. So those people who are against it kind of tell that story. And on the other hand, there seems to be a bit of a story in the minds of people looking at the surgery as kind of a panacea. Like, I'll just have the surgery and everything will be fine. Kind of like, if I have a facelift, then I don't have to have wrinkles the next day, right?
Sure.
So we have these two sides of it, but my guess is there's actually the real story that's in between. And tell us a little bit about the facts of it.
There's still a lot of work involved. I do a lot of volunteering for my surgeon's office, talking to people looking into surgery. And one of the biggest things I tell people is, it's like a push start. It builds on itself, but you have to make the changes in your eating style, in your lifestyle, not just in what you eat, but exercise. Everybody gets hammered to the point, you know, you just have to eat less, exercise more. And in its most simplistic form, I suppose that's true, but there's more to it than that. It's not always, nothing's ever just that easy. And the surgeries do help me eat less, which in turn helped me get the energy to exercise more, move around more, which then helps you lose more weight, and it sort of snowballs on itself. So you really do have to make these changes. The surgeries will help you initially lose that weight, but if you don't make these changes in your day-to-day lifestyle, you're never going to keep that weight off. There's always ways, as we like to say, eat around the surgery. I could be grazing all day long. I could choose to eat the wrong stuff. All sorts of things that could I could do basically to sabotage myself at this point.
Right. So the surgery, that is to say, the surgery is not the fix.
No.
The surgery itself is a support, but it doesn't solve the entire issue.
It's a tool.
Yeah.
When you talk to people that have weight loss surgery, that's the biggest thing they like to say is that the surgery is just a tool, one more tool in my arsenal of eating better, getting more active, things like that, in order to help me lose the weight and maintain it.
So here's perhaps a delicate question for you. I mean, something to in the moment just ponder what comes to you today in the asking of this question. But as you have said, and undoubtedly you had put much effort into the weight loss prior to the surgery, and you, I'm sure, had tried most, if not all, of the options available and the conventional wisdom, as you said, kind of eat less, exercise more. But that didn't seem to work for you. Then you had the surgery.
I was an expert on losing weight. But, I think a lot of people in my position, you know, especially when you get to that, you know, I was classified basically morbidly obese, which means basically that if I hadn't made the changes, it's like having a terminal disease in a lot of ways. It would have shortened my lifespan by possibly decades.
So you've got all of that facing you, and I have clients in a similar situation where I hear those same stories where they're facing what for many folks would be, you know, the biggest motivators, the end of life or the end of a kind of uncomplicated, healthy life. But yet that doesn't seem to be enough to make some change. But the surgery comes along for some folks, and that does seem to be enough. For you, in the sense of there's something about Rob before the surgery and Rob after the surgery that you've been able to, and I don't know, this is my question, what's the sense of how you've changed, given that the surgery is just a tool, it's not the thing that changed you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if I could give a definitive answer. I think a lot of it is the fact that it did help me lose so much weight early on is a great motivator, for one. The fact that I saw throughout the process that the more I worked at it, the better it worked for me, and that it's helped me maintain the loss. I mean, I've lost, you know, 30, 40, 50 pounds a number of times over the years, but they would come back and bring friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, the weight loss just kind of creeps back up there again, and you end up heavier than you were before. The difference is this, I think it just gave me the help to and the motivation to make the changes more permanent. And so that I can maintain it for the long term. Now, for me, I'm barely not even 2.5 years out yet, so I'm still I'm not even considered really a veteran when it comes to weight loss surgery. But for me, this is the longest I've maintained any sort of significant weight loss in my life.
Sure. And from my understanding, and maybe you can put some numbers to this, but my understanding is that a good number of folks don't make it the first year. Mm-hmm. And that if you get past that first year, your chances of continuing go up significantly. Do you have any?
Well, it's the first year for most people, actually the first 12 to even 18, 24 months, a lot of people, they call that sort of the honeymoon period, especially with, I had gastric bypass or Roux-en-Y surgery. There's a couple other significant ones out there. With the one I had, it's almost impossible not to lose weight, especially the first 6 to 9 months. I probably, of the 190 pounds I lost, probably 170 of that in the first 9 months. So it's almost impossible that first year not to lose weight. once you get past that, that's when the habits really kick in. So if you don't build up those habits in that first year, that's when you're going to have problems. You know, after that first year, that's when you're going to start seeing the weight creep back on, things like that.
Give us some of the actual changes that you had to make. And we understand, you know, portion control, but I know that, you know, things like alcohol need to be watched, sugar intake, all that kind of stuff. Give us some real specifics on what you had to change.
Well, for me personally, I get away from the processed foods. You know, I don't buy the TV dinners, the frozen meals, things like that. I do a lot, even though I've always loved cooking. I spent 16 years in the food business, and I love cooking. I cook more now than I think I ever have. But I think the key is the portion control. It's aside from what I eat, this helps me control how much I can eat at any given time.
So, and what is that? Like, what did you have to change in that?
Well, basically right now, an average meal for me is probably about a cup and a half of food in a meal, if you were to combine it all together. But after you're first recovering from surgery, when I first went off liquids back into regular food again, I was eating a couple tablespoons in a meal. And they're finding all sorts of great things now about how the stomach and the brain work together to help control hunger. In fact, I'm hopeful, you know, some of the discoveries that are being made in just the last 10 years alone are going to help maybe even for people that are not in the position where they're quite ready for surgery, but can help them.
Well, I think that's definitely something we need to continue talking about. And if you guys have questions out there for Rob, he is open about all of this. Please feel free to call and ask questions. Also, if you've ever wondered where the experts in nutrition go to get their information, stay tuned. You're listening to The Wake Up Call on AM 950. Welcome back to The Wake Up Call, and if you'd like to join in the conversation this morning, the number to call is 952-946-6205, or you can share your comments on our Facebook page. You'll find a link to it on our website at thewakeupcallradioshow.com. I'm Giselle Erickson with the Bhakti Wellness Center, and I'm here with Guy Odishaw, the founder of the Bhakti Wellness Center.
Yes, and we are talking today with Rob Hortinga, a nutritional coach with Positively Healthy. So we've got a question came in on our Facebook page for Rob, and this is from Penny. And Penny would like to know, Rob, about the different types of surgeries.
Yeah, I mentioned that I had gastric bypass, which is probably one of the more it's the most popular one in the United States. It's probably what most people associate when you hear like the term stomach stapling, although it's progressed a lot more since then. Yeah, we're going to be doing a show on this later this fall, but just kind of give a quick rundown. Gastric bypass is what's known as a malabsorptive procedure because they literally bypass part of your intestine, so you don't absorb everything that you take in, as well as creating a small stomach pouch that helps control how much you eat. So it's also, besides the malabsorption, it's also the restriction. Then they also have the gastric banding, which most people know as the commercial term is lap band, or it's one of the main types of bands out there. That is strictly a restrictive procedure because it creates a small stomach area to help control your portions before everything goes into the rest of your stomach. And then there's the newest one out there is called vertical sleeve gastrectomy, or VSG, and that basically creates a small this is the only one where they actually remove part of your stomach, and they create a small basically just create a small stomach. It starts out after surgery about the size of like those Sharpie markers, and of course it expands a little bit over time and after healing. But that one's also just mainly restriction, helps you control how much you eat. So those are the three most popular ones. There's also a few other ones that they're doing. There's like duodenal switch, but that one's not very popular in the United States, and a few other ones that are being tested yet.
Very good. Well, good summary, Rob. And this brings to mind this question that when we're changing our stomach and even all the way down into our small intestine with these surgeries, it's going to change how our body relates to food. And this segment, we're going to talk about cooking. But before we get there, I do want to ask you a question that's a holdover from the last segment. And I bring this along just because it's kind of near and dear to my heart, and I see it in my own practice. And that's often with the weight loss surgeries, we talk about the physics of it. You know, the how much weight is going to be lost and the type of restrictions a person has to have around their eating. We talk about that a lot, but we don't talk much about the psychological side and the impact. And, you know, you said early in the show that you had been overweight your whole life, and then that changed rather suddenly in a scale of a whole life, you know, over a period of a year. That's overnight, really. And I'm wondering, like, your own self-image, how did you work with that?
I still am, I guess is the short answer. Yeah, there's another saying out there that when we're talking to people that are looking to surgery. The weight loss surgery, it's a procedure for your body, but it does nothing for the head. Mm-hmm. That's something, in fact, all the major insurance carriers and good programs, any good serious surgery program out there, require you to go through psychological evaluation before surgery. It's one of the requirements. You have to make sure that you're mentally capable of and ready to make the changes you are. And I've talked with people that they didn't make it through that evaluation the first time, and they go through counseling and other things to work on whatever it is they need to work on in order to qualify for surgery. So, yeah, it's a huge thing. I mean, there's days now where I look in the mirror and I don't recognize the face looking back at me after, you know, 30-plus years of looking at a much heavier face. And now, but there's also a lot of times, fortunately, they're starting to become more numerous, where I look back at pictures from a few years ago and I don't recognize that face. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest things. And that's another thing you'll hear a lot of people that have been through something similar, whether it's through surgery or just through other means, that, you know, you'll be walking down the street and catch your own reflection in a, you know, a shop window, and you kind of like do a double take.
Yeah, I mean, this to me, I think this in and of itself could be a whole show to just talk about this. I mean, I've had a client tell me that, you know, she just looks down at her arm and it doesn't look like her arm. Yeah. And there's a sort of shock and terror that goes through. So these are heavy psychological effects coming from what is otherwise seen as a really positive thing. I mean, those of us who don't have this concern would be like, well, how could you not be happy about seeing, you know, your skinny arm?
Yeah, and for me, it's even more different because as a guy, I'm definitely in the minority when it comes to people that have had weight loss surgery. The conservative estimates out there are that only about 15%, maybe as much as 18 or 20% of the people that have had weight loss surgery in the United States are male. Hmm. Well, so there's a lot of unique things. I mean, even just, you know, I talked about once with some people that shaving became a whole new experience for me because I have a jawline now.
Wow. You know,
I don't have those gentle sloping curves of yesteryear.
So now you mentioned this, and this, again, is a great place we could go, but we got to get to the cooking.
Okay.
But just tell me, just give me a few words about formerlyfatdudes.com.
Yeah, it's a blog I started when I started my looking into the weight loss surgery and realized just how few guys out there were. There's a lot of great information on the internet regarding weight loss surgery. Of course, there's a lot of, just like anything else, there's a lot of bad information too. But all the, you know, the information out there was primarily from women and geared towards women. So I started this website, formerfatdudes.com, about life after weight loss surgery from a dude's perspective.
Excellent. Solidarity.
Yeah. And so it's stuff. I've had a few guys. Yeah, I get a few guys that throw me some articles here and there. And it's and I get a lot of women, of course, you know, that's the most, you know, the biggest part of the audience out there is women. Sure. So a lot of topics I cover, you know, are for both. But
very good. All right. So we're going to spend a moment here with cooking. So tell me, what is it in the world, what draws you and attracts you to cooking? Because as you mentioned, even before this, you were in the food industry, so you had an attraction prior to getting into, you know, the post-surgical care. So what draw you to cooking in the first place, and what inspires you now?
I think a lot of it was the creativity. I do a lot of cookbook reading just for fun, just to find new ideas and things I can, ways I can go with it. But I think it's just the creativity, as well as, you know, the satisfaction of eating something good. And when you've cooked it yourself, it can be, you know, I think that adds to it a lot.
And I've seen your recipes online. Most of those pictures, I think you took yourself, right?
Yeah.
And they're just gorgeous, gorgeous dishes, with full of color and texture. And
thanks.
It's wonderful. So where do you go for your inspiration? You know, who do you admire in the cooking world?
Oh, in the cooking world, there's a lot. I mean, probably number one would be Alton Brown, just in, as far as, you know, the MacGyver of the cooking world, just because he does a lot of stuff where he talks about just the techniques, and that's, I don't always follow recipes per se, but I come up with sort of formulas and stuff, and based on what I have on hand or what I think is going to go good together. Jamie Oliver is probably another one people are really familiar with, especially when it comes to nutritious items, with his, you know, the food revolution stuff and things like that. I mean, those are probably two of the most big and popular ones. But then just a lot of other little blogs out there and stuff, people I go to when I want to look for a good recipe.
And as we talked about at the beginning of this segment, because of the changes due to the surgery, I'm guessing that food is, like, how you relate to food has changed in terms of what your body can't absorb or what it doesn't absorb well, and therefore you need to eat more frequently.
Yeah, I do. A lot of people, and it's very, just like before surgery, it's varied for everybody. So I tend to do 3 meals a day with a couple of snacks, you know, which is just to help keep my, because my metabolism kicked into high gear, so.
Well, we've got a special deal to give away to a lucky caller this morning. We have a case of the Premier Protein Shakes to give away to the first person who calls us at 952-946-6205. So we'll be back, and you are listening to The Wake Up Call on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll be right back.
Good morning, starshine. The earth says hello.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Wake Up Call, where you will find the education, encouragement, and information you need to change your mind and change your health. The Wake Up Call is an outreach of the Bhakti Wellness Center, and today's program is brought to you by Positively Healthy, nutritional coaching for a positively healthy life. I'm Giselle Erickson with the Bhakti Wellness Center, and with me in the studio today is Guy Odishaw, founder of the Bhakti Wellness Center.
It's nice to be part of your Saturday morning here, and I want to give a special shout-out, as always, to our Canadian listeners. I hear we're gathering a small, merry band up there. That's fantastic. So we're talking here this morning with Rob Portinga, nutritional coach with Positively Healthy. And before we go to Rob, we had a winner of today's call-in. This is Tim from Ramsey. Tim didn't want to stay on and chat with us, but Tim, we'll be in touch with you after the show to get the Premier Shakes to you.
Now, for the listeners who didn't get through to win, you can check out the other deals we're going on by visiting the website at thewakeupcallradioshow.com and checking under the weekly deals. And Rob, where should they go if they want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I do have a website. It's positively-healthy.com. Unfortunately, I did find the name. Good name, but I had to put the hyphen in there to get the domain name. My phone number is on there as well if you want to talk to me about that, or the contact page on there. You can shoot me an email that way too.
All right, Rob. So tell us more about Positively Healthy. What do you do for your clients?
Well, the title is I kind of gave myself is nutritional coach, and I guess in a way, it's sort of like looking at having a personal trainer to help you exercise, to help with your exercise routine, where I want to be your personal coach to help you with your eating routine, eating, cooking, things like that. Basically help you make some changes, nothing drastic, you know, maybe some small changes here and there as far as steps you can take to eat healthier, to change your eating habits, to be healthier, maybe lose a little weight if that's your goal, you know, maybe you're just looking to eat healthier in general for just for nutrition reasons, things like that.
And who do you think benefits most from your services?
Basically, anybody that wants to eat better, no matter what the reason. And I think, you know, whether it's a nutritional coach, a personal trainer, or a career coach, one of the things I think that we do as coaches is help you come up with realistic goals. So it's anybody that has a goal that's nutrition or food-oriented is somebody that I can hopefully help with. Help you come up with a realistic goal, whether it's, you know, lose a few pounds, maybe just get some better nutrition into your diet, find some ways to cook healthier, things like that. So I mean, it's a pretty broad category, but yeah.
Yeah, so this is something maybe it's worth spending a time on just because I think it's important for you as a business coach to really, find qualified clients to work with. But it's also, I think, equally important for prospective clients to understand what works, you know, when in their process should they engage a coach. Because if it's done, in my experience, if it's done too soon, it doesn't go well, and it kind of leaves them with a sense of, well, that doesn't work, and they won't use it
right
again later.
You have to be ready. You have to be ready to make the changes. Just in the way that, a few, 3-4 years ago, if you'd asked me about weight loss surgery, I said, no way, I don't need to do that. I should be able to do it on my own. but I wasn't ready. So then I wasn't able to make those changes. So then I decided I needed some help. And for me, that some of that help was through weight loss surgery. And then through that, I also talked to other people in nutrition through my surgeon's office and other places that helped me make the changes I needed to make. So that's kind of where I want to go is there's evaluation you go through at the beginning that I help. Hopefully I can help figure out if you are ready to make the changes and what changes you're ready to make. And then that goes into then figuring out what a realistic goal is based on what you want to do.
What would be the signs that someone might know about themselves that would be a sign of I'm ready to make the change?
Seeking out the help is a good first step, of course. If it's something where you're doing it because, you know, a spouse or family members are bugging you, hey, you really should do this, you should do that, that may not be quite, you know, the sign that you're not quite ready. But if it's something where you just feel like in your gut that, okay, yeah, and you spend some time, and maybe you've tried to already make some changes, but you're having some struggling doing that, then that's where I can help you figure out maybe you're just not making the changes you're ready for yet, and then we can look at that.
Yeah, because I think what you were mentioning is if the impetus is coming from outside of you, your family, your friends, saying, you know, you've got to do this, that internal shift has to happen before someone, I think, is ready for that change.
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, we get a lot of pressure from outside sources all the time saying that we need to change this, we need to change that. And until you, the only person, I mean, that's kind of what our show is about. The only person that can change your mind is yourself.
Right, right.
Yeah, in my working with a business coach, which I resisted for decades, and then finally decided, you know, I heard so much about it, I'm just going to give it a try. But still from that perspective of, you know, but I don't need one. But I want to understand what this coaching thing is all about. And it was absolutely fantastic. Changed my relationship with my business in ways that I could not have imagined. But I think a couple things. One, I was doing it. You know, I was getting up every day and participating in my business. And so all of the parts were there. They just weren't very well organized. And another piece that kept coming up for me was kind of an accountability piece. And if I had to say from my experience of coaching, if there's a number one thing that a coach has done for me, that was the accountability. What's your thoughts on that in terms of again, accountability and where you meet your clients in a way that really makes a difference?
Yeah, there is the accountability factor, too. I mean, when you have somebody that you're meeting with every couple of weeks that, you know, you're showing your progress to, that's checking with you. And I think what goes hand in hand with the accountability is also the cheerleading aspect of it, you know, the support that they give you, as well as, you know, it's kind of a two-way street. It's not just you know, you're reporting into them, but they're also reporting back to you, giving you feedback, both positive and constructively negative at times, saying, well, this isn't working, you know, we need to try something else. And I think that's, you know, like I said, they help, a coach will help tailor it to your specific goals, to your specific needs. And they're not going to look at you as just a, you know, another cookie cutter figure. A good coach is going to help work with you to individualize it so it does continue to work for you.
Yeah, yes. I think cutting through the confusion, because I think all of us have had tried to start something and then we run into I don't know. You know, like cooking for me. I've been cooking for, you know, professionally since I was 18, so quite a few years. But still, I can get absolutely stymied around starting a new style of cooking.
Sure.
And it's just I let the I don't know stop me. And I see a coach can come in and really help that barrier, you know, of a person. Like, answer those questions so they can just keep moving.
Oh, what's that saying or proverb? Is you don't know what you don't know, or you don't know how much you don't know?
Yes. So, Giselle, I keep cutting you off. I know you've got a question for Rob, so go ahead, fire away.
Well, we were just talking about the word diet, and I think around the coaching and the mindset and the internal shift that has to happen, I think the word diet is often really equated with deprivation. I have to only eat protein and no carbs, or I have to cut out all sugar and fat and, you know, all these things. So speak for a moment about the word diet and what that actually means for you.
Yeah, especially these last couple of years. For me, the word diet, the way people use it to basically mean deprivation is for me, that's like nails across the chalkboard. Yeah. For me, diet is not something, I don't go on a diet. I choose to eat a healthy, balanced diet. And so that's been a big thing, and that's what I want to work with people on, is just realizing when if you want to lose weight, it's not necessarily about depriving yourself of things you enjoy. The other extreme is, you hear people talk about everything in moderation. Well, that's not necessarily true either, because you have to put that into context, So you have to get that, find that balance. And that's hopefully what I could help people do, is find that balance for them, find the things that are going to work for them, but also allow them a little bit of indulgences here and there, that they can still enjoy. They don't have to dread eating a meal. They don't have to dread being in a social situation thinking, oh, there's going to be this and that, I can't have that. Probably one of the biggest examples I give is I still love French fries. It's not about what I can and can't eat. It's about what I choose to eat. And I choose to let myself have French fries about once a month. Mm-hmm. That way it's something I can have often enough where I don't feel deprived. And when I do have them, I really enjoy them. I don't necessarily get just the cheapy, greasy fries from, the local drive-thru. I'll get them with a nice, maybe a nice juicy burger and enjoy that meal for what it is, just a good meal, although maybe a few more calories that day than I need to, so I need to pay attention in other areas, but I'm not going to deprive myself of that enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of getting into the details here of what it's actually like to live through this process and getting some good advice from Rob. I'd like to invite our audience to call in if you've got questions for Rob and his own process. Or if you've got questions that are more about your process and you want to kind of tap his expertise as a coach, the number to call is 952-946-6205.
And, Rob, you've had this experience of getting into all these different ingredients. And when I was getting to know you for the first time, I was amazed that you knew what quinoa was, because quinoa is an amazing grain. And I know you have a recipe to share with us. Maybe this is a good time to do that.
Yeah, for those that don't know, quinoa is a grain. It's a whole grain, and it's one of the – there's only a couple of grains out there. And all grains have protein in them, but they're not a complete protein like the sources you're going to get from eggs and meat and things like that. But quinoa is one of those rare items where you do get a complete protein, so it's a great option for vegans and vegetarians. But anybody that wants to give it a try, it's a great substitute for rice. But I use it – one of my favorite dishes using it is a cranberry quinoa salad. It's just something I whipped together one day, and it turned out good, so I've been making it over and over again. You take a mix of quinoa, some dried cranberries, some shredded carrots, maybe some chopped green onion, and throw in some sunflower seeds, and then I make a dressing out of honey, cider vinegar, and a little bit of olive oil. It's a great dish. I found it's a great go-to recipe for potlucks or picnics, things like that. And if I want to make a meal out of it, I'll throw in some shredded chicken or maybe some tuna fish instead of a side dish. And the full recipe is on our website at thewakeupcallradioshow.com if you want to check it out.
And I want to add to that quinoa is a great grain. It's one of the ancient grains. It is a gluten-free for people who are sensitive around that. And although it's a carbohydrate, it's a slow-digesting carbohydrate. You don't get that same feeling as if you were eating.
Yeah, you don't get the carb rush. Exactly. Because of the balance of the protein in there.
Yeah. So not to say that this has to be in any way limited to kind of a weight loss. It's just a healthy choice for a grain to be eating.
Yeah, and it's easy to cook. It cooks just like rice, and you can find it, it used to be you could only find it in the quote-unquote health food stores, but now you'll find it in a lot of the local retailers now.
Well, again, the phone number to call here is 952-946-6205, and we'll be happy to take some of your calls as soon as we get back from the break. You are listening to The Wake Up Call on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, and this is The Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. Just take it some clean, fresh air.
Wake up, Susie, wake up.
Good morning and welcome back to the Wake Up Call, where you will find the education, encouragement, and information you need to change your mind and change your health. The Wake Up Call is an outreach of the Bhakti Wellness Center. And if you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you can download the apps that will let you listen to the Wake Up Call as well as all the other shows here on AM 950 right over your phone. Just hit up the website at AM 950 and hit the Listen Now page for all the details. Today's program is brought to you by Positively Healthy Nutritional Coaching for a Positively Healthy Life, and I'm Giselle Erickson. With me in the studio today is Guy Odishaw, founder of the Bhakti Wellness Center.
Yes, and we've been talking to our co-host, Rob Portinga, a nutritional coach with Positively Healthy. Rob, give them your contact information.
Yeah, the website again is positively-healthy.com. My phone number, or you can email me through the website, they're both listed on there. Just positively-healthy.com.
All right, Rob, earlier in the show, you had mentioned in passing the kind of the two sides to weight loss, the nutritional side and then the exercise side. And we really have followed the first half of that equation. But maybe you could give us a moment about how you've brought exercise into your life.
Yeah, exercise really is important, just not only to help with the weight loss, but to help maintain it, because there's going to be days where you're going to overindulge here and there, and keeping up your exercise helps make sure you burn those extra calories off. And for me, a lot of the stuff I do is, besides just normal everyday walking and things like that, is I've really gotten into, like, bike riding. I did about 700 miles on my bike last year. I'm a little off that pace this year, but that's because one of the things I did basically because I can, as I did the Warrior Dash last week. I think a lot of people have heard about the Warrior Dash out there. In fact,
it was crazy.
Yeah, we had a comment on Facebook, too, that I'm supposed to come down to Texas and do the Tough Mudder with him. But we'll see about that. It's a little far to go just to run in some mud. I got plenty of mud up here I can play in. But I think the key is finding, don't look at it as exercise. You have to look at it as just finding a way to be active in a way that you enjoy. And for me, when I'm out there biking, it's not about exercise. For me, it's almost like you might be able to relate to this, guys. For me, it's almost like a meditative state that I get in. It's just a zen feeling I get as I'm just cruising down those paths.
With laundry to do afterwards. Well, you mentioned, I think, as a really good point. Giselle earlier asked the question about diet, and I think we could do the same thing with the word exercise.
Mm-hmm.
That has become kind of a swear word. I am continually talking with my clients about, exercise, but finding something that is fun, is enjoyable, is engaging, more of the whole being, that isn't just objectively good for you, but is subjectively enjoyable. And I hear that's what you're saying, and that's what worked for you.
It's activity. It's not exercise. It's activity. It's mm-hmm. It's just getting your body in motion.
Very good. Well, there's a whole nother show for us to just talk about that. So today, we've been talking with Rob about the weight loss surgeries as an option, in a whole nutritional or wellness program. In one's kind of wellness program, where does weight loss surgeries fit in? Talking a little bit more about activity and cooking around the edges of that. If you have questions for Rob, please email him, contact him through his website, through Facebook. And I want to take a moment. Part of the mission of our show is to give you the information you need to make change in your health. And that starts with your mindset. So I want to take a moment and just kind of share with you something that has changed, in my mind today. And that's really just an appreciation for the complexity of what Rob has been sharing. I mean, this, and specifically the surgeries, I had no idea of the complexity that has, both for the body, but also then for the person who has to live with that and manage it. I had no idea. I have a great appreciation now for those who have gone through it. Giselle, how about you?
Yeah, well, I don't know whether it's maybe, Guy, your Canadian accent, but we pronounced quinoa differently. How did you say it?
Quinoa.
Quinoa.
Yeah.
So, I thought it would be a good idea to maybe spell the word so that people could go find it for themselves. It's Q-U-I-N-O-A, and that is...
I've seen and heard it done both ways.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know if it's a Canadian thing or not, but it sounds like a good excuse.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
Well, we hope today you've been inspired to make one change, to take one step, no matter how small, towards a healthier you. If you have and you'd like to share it with us, let us know. You can email us or post it on Facebook, and we may even read your email on the air next week. But before we go, we'd like to share with you something that you might want to pass on to a friend around the water cooler on Monday. It could be a link to a website, or it might be an interesting little news blurb about the latest clinical study, or it could be as simple as a great recipe to try. So, Guy, what have you got for us today?
Sure. This one's a little far-reaching. I want you to check out a website. It's yuwa-india.org, yuwa-india.org. So yuwa.org. And this is an organization that is working to educate young women in India. And World Health Organization tells us if there's a number one thing we can do for world health, that's educate young women. It moves up the marriage age. It moves up the birth age, reduces number of births, and increases the amount of money raised and spent on the family. So there's really the simplest one thing that we could do. So that's what I want you to go and check out yuwa.org.
And Rob, what have you got for us?
Yeah, kind of sticking on, I guess, today's topic, the Obesity Action Coalition. They're a group that's dedicated to helping folks affected by obesity. They do that through education, advocacy, and support. They fight for prevention. They do awareness, on expanding treatment options for fighting the stigma and bias of obesity. That's something we didn't really touch on. That would be a whole other topic. But one example of what they do is recently there was a group that supports vegetarianism, and they put up these billboards picturing obese women with the caption, "Save the whales." Oh, and there was a lot of outcry about that. And Joel, he's a president of the OAC. He went toe-to-toe with the reps of this group and was instrumental in getting the billboards taken down. So that's the kind of things that they cover.
And Giselle?
Yeah, well, every night when you dream, you subconsciously assess what's going on in your life. And if you pay attention, you can use it as a way to solve your problem. So on our website, I have posted the 6 dream mysteries solved. So check that out if you're interested in dreaming and what your dreams might mean. So, part of this tuning in and paying attention is valuable information, we hope. And we just want you to pass that on if you can. And if you have a friend that you feel like might benefit from this, be sure to pass on the podcast of our show as well. So now that you're all awake, there's no going back to sleep. I'm Giselle Erickson.
And I'm Guy Odishaw. And next week, we will be interviewing Giselle Erickson. She'll be sharing with us some wonderful ways massage therapy and energy work can impact the quality of your life.
Yeah, if you want to tune in next week as she shares ways you'll be able to turn your own kitchen into a spa. And we do try to leave you with one final thought each week. And the one for this week is follow your instincts. You never know if your ideas will work out unless you try them.
You've been listening to The Wake Up Call. Have a good week, everybody.
Go out and play and smile to the world. Open your eyes, jump out of bed, you just wake up.